chapter 20 and verse number 13. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 13. We come to the sixth commandment. The sixth commandment. The Bible says in Exodus 20 and verse number 13, "Thou shalt not kill." Thou shalt not kill. Life is precious. Life is precious. Jeremiah 1, verse 4, verse 5, the Bible says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," talking to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." God had a purpose for Jeremiah. The baby in the womb is a life. Life begins at conception. And life is precious either in or out of the womb. So I believe that abortion is murder. Thou shalt not kill. The word kill that is used here in Exodus 20 and verse 13 is the Hebrew word rasak, and it means to murder. It's a word that means to murder. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not murder. There are many different aspects of killing. There is parricide, which is a child killing a parent. Just last week, one of my longtime friends was killed by his son. His son took a shotgun and shot him in the back of the head. Do you believe that is murdering the parent? It is. There is infanticide, killing a newborn, a baby. There is fratricide, that is where a brother kills a brother kills a sister kills a brother. Homicide, the act of killing another human being. Abortion, we mentioned, is the killing of an infant in the womb or even in the birth canal. Suicide, from the Latin word suicidium, meaning to kill oneself, the act of causing one's death. There is genocide, the deliberate and systematic destruction in whole or in part of a racial, ethnic, religious, or national group. We're seeing that in America today. We're seeing an effort to do away with history and to make this country bland. I believe history is important to America. You may not like all of its history, but it should not be taken away. History is important. There is, as we said, murder. What is murder? The American Heritage Dictionary defines murder the unlawful and malicious or premeditated killing of one human being by another. Also, any killing done while committing some other felony as rape or robbery. Thou shalt not kill. Louisiana rates number one per capita in murders. Alabama rates number two in per capita murders. Mississippi rates number 3 in per capita murders. Missouri rates number 7 in per capita murders. What a sad thing. Folks killing each other. Killing. Taking a life. But there is a time and a place and a reason for taking a life. And so I want to speak tonight concerning Old Testament and New Testament evidence for capital punishment. There's another shift in our country where a state recently said we're no longer going to have capital punishment. And that's the shift that we see to do away with capital punishment. Exodus chapter 21 and verse number 12. Exodus 21 and verse number 12 gives us strong evidence for the death penalty. The Bible says in Exodus 21, and verse number 12, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And God has not rescinded what he says here. Has not been rescinded. Now, you may cry out and say, well, the Bible says in Matthew, judge not that ye be not judged. God is the judge. He's the one who said, thou shalt not kill, and if you murder, then the Bible says that that person shall be surely put to death. Not my words, his. God's judgments are to be carried out. That's biblical. It's not what people want to hear today, but it is biblical. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27 that man is made in the image of God. Man is made in the image of God. Genesis 1 and verse number 26, and God said, let us, and I believe that's the Trinity, let us make man, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. So the life of each individual man, woman, boy, and girl is sacred in the eyes of God. For we have been created in His image according to the Word of God. And murder is a terrible deed. M.L. Moser Jr. said that for a man to take the life of another by premeditated violence is, in effect, an assault on God. We are created in His image. Matthew Henry, the great old commentator, said, God, who by His providence gives and maintains life, thus His law protects it, so that mercy, listen to me, so that mercy shown to a willful murderer is really cruelty to all mankind. To show mercy to a willful murderer is a travesty, it is a cruelty to all mankind. Even some of you here tonight are going to have a hard time with this message because we have been so liberalized. In commenting on Genesis 9 and verse number 6, Genesis 9 and verse number 6, and I want to read that. Genesis 9 and verse number 6, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." Did you get that? That's what the book says. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Word of God says. And on commenting on this as it relates to what we read in Exodus 21 and 12, Matthew Henry says, "He that smiteth a man, whether upon a sudden passion or malice, in a malicious pretense, so that that man dies, the government must take care that the murderer be put to death." That's what we find in the Word of God. That's what we find. Now, according to the ancient law, the law of God, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." J. Vernon McGee, in commenting on Exodus 21:12, and we do remember what that says, in Exodus 21 and verse number 12, "He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death." And Dr. McGee says this verse is the basis for capital punishment. "Some people believe that 'thou shalt not kill' means that the government has no right to exact a death penalty. However, God commanded Israel to put to death any murderer. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not kill. Doesn't mean that we're not to execute the judgment of God. The great old Baptist, John Gill, on commenting on Exodus 21:12, "He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death," says this. Dr. Gill says this verse is important to us. "Any human person, man, woman, or child of whatsoever nation, they are smitten by anything, whatever, that issues in their death, that murderer shall surely be put to death by the order of civil magistrates and by the hand of such as shall be appointed by him. For this, according to Gill, is the original law of God." And he references Genesis 9 and verse 6. Now, in spite of what the Bible clearly says and what the Bible clearly teaches, most American major denominations have called for the abolition of the death penalty. They said that's not humane. Well, if somebody walks up to you and puts a gun to your brain and blows your brain out, that's not humane either. It's not right. Robert McQuilkin says that not only does taking a human life offend liberal sensibilities, except in the case of the unborn, those that they consider not to be truly human, it offends New Testament ethics according to many evangelicals. And I'm finding that in independent Baptist churches where it offends people to even think about the death penalty. But God's Word is clear. The death penalty for premeditated homicide is clear. Scriptural evidence for the death penalty in the case of murder is clear. We've already cited Genesis 9:6. We've already looked at Exodus 21:12. I want us to look in Leviticus chapter 24. The book of Leviticus, chapter 24. First of all, at verse 17, and then secondly, we will look at verse number 21. Leviticus 24 and verse number 17. And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. Verse number 21. Leviticus 24. And he that killeth a beast, he shall restore it. And he that killeth a man, he shall be put to death. That's what the Scripture says. The Bible says. Numbers chapter 35. Numbers chapter 35. And let us read verses 16 through 21. Numbers 35, and beginning at verse number 16. Numbers 35, verse 16. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron, so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with an hand weapon of wood, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. Who's the revenger of blood? Well, that's the government. The revenger of blood. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. Verse 20. But if he thrust him of hatred, or hurl at him by laying of weight that he die, or in enmity smite him with his hand, that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death. For he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. Some years ago in Biloxi, Mississippi, a man caught his wife in a bar room. He argued with her, and then he took his big fist and he put it together, and he slapped her upside the head, and when he did, he snapped her neck, and she fell to the floor dead. He was a murderer. He is a murderer. He took a life. And the death penalty is a correct penalty for such a crime. It is. Not according to me, but according to those references that are cited. Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy 19 and beginning at verse number 11. Deuteronomy 19, 11. Where the Bible says, but if any man hate his neighbor. You ever have a bad neighbor? Or have you ever had a neighbor that didn't like you? Nobody answer. But if any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait, he's going to ambush him, and lie in wait for him, and rise up against him, and smite him mortally, that he die and fleeth into one of these cities, that's the city of refuge, then the elders of the city shall send and fetch him thence, and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die, because he has murdered. Thine eye shall not pity him. That's our problem today. Bleeding heart. Pitying them. But thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. With who? With Israel. The further we get away from the plain teaching of the Word of God, the deeper in the abyss of wickedness we go. And that's where we're at. People do not fear the law. And I'm talking about God's law, and I'm talking about man's law. Many people don't fear the law. No fear of the law. Not whatsoever. So the teaching of the Old Testament concerning capital punishment, I believe, is very clear. Do you? It's very clear. Now, we look at the New Testament. And that's what a lot of the bleeding heart liberals say. Well, that was in the Old Testament, and we are in the New Testament, and things are different. Well, let's see. Let's look into the New Testament and see what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 52. Matthew 26 and verse number 52. In this, we have a restatement of the original law of capital punishment as is given in Genesis 6:9. And they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. You notice here that it says, then said Jesus unto him, speaking to Peter, put up thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall what? Perish with the sword. You get that sword out, and you cut somebody's head off, and they die, then the proper punishment is that your head be taken from your shoulders. That's what that's speaking of. Romans 13, verse number 4. Romans 13, verse number 4. The Bible says, speaking of an officer, speaking of the government, speaking of those in place of authority, and I think many of them are derelict in their duty. I believe that. I believe our Supreme Court is a puppet. I don't believe that they are acting according to the Constitution any longer. And when they approved same-sex marriage, they knew that they were going against our very Constitution. I believe in their heart they had to know that. But it's the trend that people flow with. Now notice what it says here in Romans chapter 13, verse number 4. And here's where the Apostle Paul affirms the right of the government to take the life of a murderer. For he, that's the judge, that's the magistrate, that's the official, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. He doesn't take that weapon of death. He doesn't handle that weapon of death. He doesn't handle that that symbol of death in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them or him that doeth evil. That's what the Bible says. The sword is the weapon of death. So Paul is saying here in Romans 13 and 4 that the state has the power of death as given to it by God. Acts chapter 25 and verse number 11. Acts chapter 25 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "For if I be an offender, if I'm worthy, if I've offended, if I've done wrong," and he's not talking about just offending somebody. Some people make being offended their occupation today. Everybody's offended. I'm offended with that. I'm offended with this. I got a message from somebody that they said that the fleur-de-lis offended them, so they want to get rid of the fleur-de-lis. You know what that is, don't you? That's the symbol of the New Orleans Saints. That's the French symbol. So that's offended somebody, so we'll do away with it. You do away, that's what we call cultural genocide. You do away with everything that a people has to control them. Sad, isn't it? Not right. It's not right. Now notice what he's saying here. In Acts 25, verse 11, "For if I be an offender, I or have committed anything worthy of death." If I have committed anything worthy of death, "I refuse not to die." Here's what he's telling them. If I've done something worthy of death, if I have done something whereby I should be executed, I refuse not to die. "But if there be none of these things whereof they accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar." If none of this will stand, I want to appeal to Caesar. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was talking about. Luke chapter 23, verse number 40. Luke 23, verse number 40. Luke 23, 40. Here we have the thief on the cross. The repentant thief on the cross. And you know what he believed in? He believed in the death penalty. He believed in the death penalty. For it says here in Luke 23, verse number 40, and this is the opposite of the one that railed on the Lord and said, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, the repentant thief said, he rebuked the other one and said, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation," a sentence of death. Don't you fear God? You're under the same condemnation. Now notice this. Verse 41. "And we indeed," what? "Justly." We deserve to be crucified. We deserve to be executed. That's what that thief says. "But this man hath done nothing amiss." He doesn't deserve to die. But we do. You see it in the light that I'm looking at it in? He understood that in the justice of law, he deserved to die. And we indeed justly. I'm thankful for Jesus who bore our sins in His body. He didn't deserve to die. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. Now, one other thing I want you to notice in this. Did Jesus renounce and denounce the words of that thief? Did he say, wait a minute now, you know, I just don't believe in this death penalty. Now, y'all shouldn't be dying. No, he never said that. You know why? Because it is a just sentence for those who deserve it. That's why it's there. That's why it's there. Revelation 13:10 records words concerning the death penalty. The book of the Revelation, chapter 13, and verse number 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. He that kills with the sword dies by the sword. There it is. There it is. And again, this is a restatement of Genesis 9:6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Blackstone, who I believe to be the greatest of our early law experts who gave us most of what we have in early law in America, said this: capital punishment for murder is the capstone of the arch of justice. It is the capstone of the arch of Blackstone. If you remove the capstone, what happens to the structure? It crumbles. There is a staircase in an antebellum home in Frankfort, Kentucky. It is freestanding. In other words, every stone is placed and then there's a capstone. And that staircase has stood there for over 150 years. There's only one thing that would cause it to immediately fall, and that is if they remove the capstone. I believe we're removing the very brick and mortar that has built America. We're destroying our own country by liberal thoughts and ideas. And sad to say, it's begun to permeate the church. When I say the church, I'm talking about a local, visible, New Testament body. Liberalism. We don't want certain things because we have sympathy, we have pity. But if we really have pity, we want justice. If we pity America, we want to get back on the right track. Are you with me? Oh, dear friends, throughout society, throughout history, civilized societies have found it necessary to protect themselves by administering the supreme punishment for those who shed innocent blood. That's throughout history. God requires the shedding of blood because of sin. I want us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 21. God's wrath must be appeased. I have some preacher friends who say, well, don't say that. Well, God's angry with sin. The Bible teaches that. He's angry with sin. So how is the anger of God going to be appeased? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Separation from God. You deserve to be cut off. You deserve to die the second death. The wages of sin is death. Now, here in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us. For He, God, hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Friends, we deserve death. We deserve to be cut off. But He, God, hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And if you go on in your lost condition, you will burn in hell. And it will be the righteous judgment of an Almighty God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Notice with me John 5 and verse number 24. John 5 and verse number 24. The Bible says here, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me, hath everlasting life. And the way you have everlasting life is that you had to pass from death unto life. Dead in trespasses and sins. Now notice it. And shall not come into condemnation. Now who is that? That's he that believeth the word of the Lord. He that believeth my word, that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but he is shown mercy. He is passed from death in hell, from separation from God for eternity, unto eternal everlasting life. When he sees that Christ, or she sees that Christ, died for them. It has to be personal. It has to be personalized. Salvation is individual. It's experiential. It is something that I cannot do for you. You cannot do for me. Only God can do it for you and for me. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, listen, who loved me and gave Himself for me that I would not have to suffer everlasting death. I plead with you tonight that you simply look to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There's a death sentence on you if you're lost. There's a death sentence on you. And you're as good as in hell. But oh, would you come to Him? Coming to Jesus. Coming to me. And I will give you rest. Let's stand together. Brother Wayne, you come.